Good evening.
Good evening, brother.
I was unable to hook up to Facebook, Natalia's Church of Christ Facebook feed this morning because I got kicked off of Facebook. I violated their regulations by, by stating fact, I guess. So we circumvented that, and Darla logged on to hers, and we were able to broadcast this morning on her. It's an Natalia's Church Facebook page, but we went through her Facebook. This evening, the internet connection is so weak that it will not pick up, and I was unable to connect no matter what I did. Those people who are not hearing me right now, sorry I'm not on. In 1933, Franklin D. Roosevelt, in his first inaugural address, said this, quote, "This great nation will endure as it has endured, will revive and will prosper. So first of all, let me assert my firm belief that the only thing we have to fear is fear itself." I wonder how many people believe that statement. I know there's a lot of things that scare people today. I also know that there are scare tactics that the media and the talking heads use to scare people into submission. It's been going on for centuries. It's a way of convincing people to follow along with their ideology. One thing I hear a lot is, do your own research, which means I trust you, or means trust me, you don't have to do your own research. Have you ever been really scared? Have you ever been so scared that you literally quivered? Have you ever been so scared that you just shook? You didn't know, your rapid heartbeat, your breathing starts getting erratic. Truly scared. You ever see the pictures of people on roller coasters when they have the most difficult drop or turn, and there's a camera there so that they can see, because that usually catches people by surprise, and you can buy the picture of you on the deal going, ah! We went to Fiesta, Texas one time, and there was no line. We got on a roller coaster, and we got to the end of the ride. There was no line. We walked off one and got on the other, got back on, and went around again. And we went around again, Dustin and I. I said, Dustin, how about if we do this? We ride it about 10 times to where we're so calm that we know where every turn is, and then we'll get a sandwich, and we'll be eating a sandwich as we go by this camera, and it'll be all these people are terrified, and here we are like all calm and laid back. That would be really cool. The fact is it catches us by surprise, and we kind of like that. We like being scared to some degree. We think about this. Have you ever had a fear of something that was so powerful that you lost sleep at night? Have you ever talked to someone and they start telling stories about scary movies and things and they say, I can't sleep? Or you ever have your kids watching a movie and you're like, you're not watching that before bed. You won't be able to sleep. You'll be knocking on my door in an hour. Stephen King has built a multi-billion-dollar industry that rakes in its money by scaring people. You ever watch one of those commercials for one of those Stephen King movies and say, nope, sorry, you may not. You may be one of those people that is a fear seeker. My wife will look at some movies and say, nope, sorry. I'm like, whatever. I have watched some before that I think I'll turn this off. Some people seem to be afraid of everything while others seem to fear nothing. Sometimes the fears that we have are really, really nothing that we should fear because mostly they are irrelevant. The fears we experience, however, are very real to us. The fears we experience are such that they're not really irrelevant. And you think about this, if we all have fears of some sort, so if saying someone's fear is irrelevant is in a sense being an insensitive person because to them it is relevant. The reality is that most of the fears that we face, we bring on ourselves. There's something important that we need to know about fear, namely that it is a human reaction to danger. For the most part, unnatural fears are called phobias. And we've all heard of phobias. Those are actually unnatural fears. They're unnatural fears that are categorized by a group that shows that we may a lot of times share common fears or phobias. We are both afraid of the same thing, or several of us are afraid of the same thing. You can find a list of the most recognized phobias if you Google it online. They vary from the extremely scary to the most bizarre. And when I say phobias, I'm talking about those generated fears that are the most common or easily recognized. If you if you Google this list and you look up the most top 100 phobias, you'll find some stuff that's really, really strange. A fear of string, or a fear of carpet, or a fear of dust. Really? Things like that. A fear of gum. Come on. So again, I mentioned these as they are generated fears. If you think about it, the things we're afraid of in our current society, there are many things that people in the past were never afraid of. There are many things that have always caused fear in people since time itself. You can look through the Bible and you can find things that scared people. You know, the National Institute of Mental Health lists phobias as a mental illness. When you listen to some of those phobias, I'm afraid of string. Yeah, I can see where that might be listed as a mental illness. They also claim that 8% of U.S. adults have some type of phobia. 8%. I thought it would be much higher than that. Listen to this quote from verywellminded.com. Quote, women are more likely to experience phobias than men. Typical symptoms of phobias can include nausea, trembling, rapid heartbeat, feelings of unreality, and being preoccupied with the fear object. Remember when I asked how many of you have ever been really afraid, so afraid that you couldn't sleep or that you trembled? The American Psychiatric Association identifies three categories of phobias: social phobias, agoraphobia, and specific phobias. The last one is the one that most of people's fears fall into. Fear, afraid of string, afraid of heights, afraid of whatever. Specific phobias. I looked up a list of phobias and it is massive, but the top are few are these. Number 7, claustrophobia. Everybody know what that is? Claustrophobia. I know Doug knows what that is. I have experienced claustrophobia, but I don't have claustrophobia. Guy told me, when you do an MRI, you'll have claustrophobia. No, I found a perfect napping spot. Doesn't bother me none. Astrophobia, number 6. The fear of lightning, number 6. Cynophobia, the fear of dogs, number 5. Agoraphobia, the fear of open or crowded spaces, number 4. I found something interesting. A lot of these phobias have different names depending on where you look them up, but they will often refer back to the name that you found on the other spot. So there, some of them have a few different names. Acrophobia, the fear of heights. I didn't know what that was called. I know there's a lot of people that have a fear of heights, just like claustrophobia. We know that. We recognize that. Aphidophobia, the fear of snakes, number 2. The number 1 phobia was arachnophobia, the fear of spiders. Most of us wouldn't know what arachnophobia was except for a movie that came out a few years ago called Arachnophobia, Fear of Spiders. I know people that are afraid of spiders. I know that Steven one time was talking about there was a spider in the house and Angie kind of swept it out the door and he went out there and he stepped on it. He says, don't do that. Don't just sweep him out the door. He's going to tell his friends how he got in and they're all going to come back. Don't let them in. We don't want them in here. You know, they're gonna. He knows how to get in, and we can't let him get away with that. And for Tricia, allurophobia is the fear of cats, but it's way, way down on the list, number 34 on the list, a fear of cats. Fear in and of itself is not a bad thing. In fact, it is a protection device of sorts that it keeps us from danger. I can remember one time we took a group of kids to Enchanted Rock. If you've ever been to Enchanted Rock, you just climb and walk and watch. It's just a big old outcropping of granite that comes up out of the ground up in the hill country. And I can remember we all were standing around and you can go down one side and come up the other and there's caves and there's all kinds of stuff up there. But there's one thing I noticed at this one particular spot as you proceed to walk, there's no drop off like this. I know a lot of people will look down at my feet when I walk around up here. They're thinking he's about to fall off. He's going to trip. He's going to walk right off of that stage in a minute. This particular outcropping rolls. it just steady and gradually rolls. And if you were to look at it from the ground, you would see that it eventually curves and comes back when it's about 150 or 200 foot drop right off of that edge. The problem with this is there's no edge to know when you're getting close. You just get to a point where as it turns over, gravity starts to pull you and you can literally walk off and slide right off of this thing. Most adults can feel that spot. They can feel that line. They can feel that danger. There's a fear of falling that is so great that it keeps us from getting too close to the edge. You ever see these idiots sitting on the edge of a cliff and it's a mile up in the air? Or rock climbers that are 500 feet up a cliff with no ropes, no nothing? A lot of them die. We were at Enchanted Rock with a group of kids from the church. And we were all standing there, and this kid that wasn't with our group, his parents figured, well, you know, there's lots of other people up here, just let him go. And he was just running amok, and he came through us and went right out on the edge of that thing until he got to the point where he started to slip. He turned and he clawed his way back to us. His eyes were about that big around, as were all of the adults standing there. I thought, you dumb kid, what were you thinking? He doesn't have that fear. He doesn't have that fear. He does now. But at that time, he didn't have that natural fear. The reason I mention this is because this kid assumed that since people were allowed to go anywhere on the rock and there wasn't a cliff or a drop-off, everything was safe. He did not have that protective fear. What does the Bible say about fear? I think about this. There's so many people that are scared today, and I see the fear in people's eyes over some of the craziest stuff. And I thought, what a lesson that we need to learn. We need to understand what God has to say about fear. It's very encouraging, at least at first. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 9, verse 1 and 2. Genesis chapter 9, verse 1 and 2. This is when Noah and his family exited the ark. And they had offered up sacrifices to the Lord. The first thing they did is when they got on dry ground is they offered up sacrifices to the Lord. It says, and God blessed Noah, chapter 9, verse 1, and his sons, and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. Right there is, we're good so far. Now listen to this. And the fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every beast of the earth and upon every fowl of the air and upon all that moveth upon the earth and upon all the fishes of the sea. Into your hand are they delivered. What a powerful statement. The fear of you shall be upon every animal and every created thing. The fear of you shall be on them and they shall be at your hands. Wow, what power God gave man right there. The fear of you. Ever heard somebody say something? I'm afraid of those. I mentioned Trisha. I can remember the first time she came out to our house. I literally had to get out of the car, open the back door, lean in, let her climb on my back, carry her in the house, and set her down. She would not set foot on the ground outside because there were cats out there. She was fearful of those cats. She was afraid of them. They're not going to hurt you. Look, no. Don't put me down there. Here God says that he told man, Noah and his sons, the only people left on the earth, he said, the fear of every animal is going to be upon you. They're afraid of you. They're going to be afraid of you. First time the fear is mentioned in the Bible, it's speaking of all the animals of God's creation being subject to fearing man. This may seem a bit out, however. If you think about it, it's really not. It's really not. Think about a horse. You ever see somebody ride a horse? They hop on them and they just ride. When that was the only mode of transportation, nobody thought anything of it. Now you see somebody riding a horse, what do you think they're riding for? For the sheer fun of it. Right? That's a big, powerful animal. In fact, we measure power by the horse. We don't say, well, he's got about 3 goat power or 4 cow power. He's kind of weak. He's got 2 chihuahua power. We don't use animals that are not strong. We use something that is the epitome of strength, the horse. We use the horse for horsepower. We measure, believe it or not, rocket engines are measured in horsepower. What a powerful animal that is. And I'm thinking to myself, what happens if that animal decides, I don't want you to ride me? What does happen? He starts to buck and he starts to pitch. Hey, we've made a sport out of it. We make a sport out of it. This animal doesn't want us on his back and he does everything he can to get us off and we turn it into a sport. Why? Because we are created in the image of God and God has given all things into our hands and it's ours. It's ours. We have conquered fear. We don't have to be fearful. We don't have to be because God says we don't have to be. It's interesting that most of the times fear is mentioned, it's God telling his creation, "Fear not, for I am with thee." You know, think about this. You know, there are some animals that aren't afraid of us. I know I have these deer that I feed in my yard. They come around twice a day looking for a handout. And I've seen them out there on high alert when the neighbor's dogs come out in the road. They stand up and they perk up and they kind of start spreading out a little bit, making sure that they're not going to be part of that pack. They'll be able to go their separate ways if they have to. I've even seen them put their ears up and start walking toward those dogs. They're fully alert. There's danger here, and we want to make sure that we know about it. We need to let them. They'll snort and let everybody else know. When I walk out there and feed them, they don't run off. Why? Because I'm the guy with the food. However, let another human walk out there. When one of y'all come into my house and walk out there to my deer when it's time to feed them, and they will run. They're going to run off. They may not go far, but they're going to run off. They're going to stick around. They have a natural fear of us. I remember my mom telling me one time, I said, "Yeah, I don't know. I'm kind of scared. And she goes, "Ah, they're more scared of you than you are of them." I said, "I don't think so. You don't know how scared I am." God tells us, tells his creation, "Fear not, for I am with thee." What comforting words. You don't have to be afraid. I am with you. Be not afraid. This is great encouragement, knowing that we have a God who will protect us to the point that we need not to be in fear of the least of anything. We are, however, also told, "But thou shalt fear thy God." Thou shalt fear thy God. Sometimes it's easier to fear the truth and swallow a lie than it is to believe the truth and resist a lie. Consider this. David, as a child, was fearless against a lion. He was fearless against a bear. And he was fearless against a 9-foot-tall, battle-hardened soldier. A warrior. 1 Samuel chapter 17 and verse 37. This is David as a kid. 1 Samuel 17:37. David said, "Moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine." And Saul said unto David, "Go, and the Lord be with thee." So when we read of David, automatically we are taken to the fact that David is a man after God's own heart. That's one of the first things that come to mind. If you're a kid, the first thing that comes to mind when you think of David is David fought the giant Goliath. And we think of that. We think of David and his mighty men. Who are his mighty men? They were the mightiest of warriors. Some of them, you read the stories of David and his mighty men, some of them would go in and one or two of them would fight hundreds and kill all of them. When we read of David, we automatically take into the fact that he was a man after God's own heart. He was fearless. Not quite. 1 Samuel chapter 21 and verse 10. 1 Samuel chapter 21 and verse 10 says, "And David arose and fled that day for fear of Saul, and went to Achish, the king of Gath." Now, I'm not going to focus on what he was running from or what he was running to or anything like that, but rather the fact that he fled for fear of Saul. He was afraid of Saul. What do you suppose caused the great difference in a courageous person such as David from being not afraid of a lion, a kid, not afraid of a bear? Ignorance, like the kid in the Enchanted Rock, he just didn't have that fear. I don't think that's it. Not when he came and ran out there and rushed out to meet the giant Goliath and smote him. The answer to the question is in Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 2. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 2, it says, "That thou mightest fear the Lord thy God and keep his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged." Okay, so this passage says, fear the Lord thy God and keep his statutes. That's in Deuteronomy. In Deuteronomy, God tells the people, you need to fear the Lord your God. So this is what David took to heart. You see, when he went up against Goliath the giant, he had no respect for Goliath because he was an uncircumcised Philistine. He was not a man of God. He had no respect for him because the things he said and did to challenge in his challenge against God's people were transgressions against the Almighty God, whom David had respect for, because David certainly obeyed Deuteronomy, fear God and keep his commandments. But Saul, on the other hand, was the anointed of God. So here David has to put himself under this position. Wait a minute. He's the anointed of God, and that's why David feared him. Why? It was because of David's utmost respect for God Almighty that he feared Saul. Not because he was a coward, not because he had a phobia, because he had respect for God, and he had to obey that command. And in so doing, he placed himself in a position of being afraid of God's anointed. David still had great respect for Saul and for God. If we will have the same attitude as David when it comes to fearing the Lord and our God, then we too will be able to live as fearless as David. As I mentioned earlier, most fears are a learned behavior. I listened to a man talking about how he had been born with a physical ailment. One lung was collapsed when he was born, and they told him over time. They told his parents over time it would work itself out. To by the time he was an adult, he would be normal. But as a kid, he was afraid of drowning because when he would get in water, he would sink. He couldn't float because he didn't have that extra lung capacity. And so he was a little bit afraid of water, but he would get in the water. But he was a little bit afraid, and he couldn't learn how to swim. And he mentioned that he went to camp one time, and these kids were jumping off of this pier into an inner tube, and he thought that would be really fun to do, and he could handle that. And so he faced his fears, and he jumped into the inner tube, but right as he jumped in, one of the bullies of the camp grabbed him by the ankles. When he did, he couldn't come up. He tried, and he couldn't come up, and he started to panic. He thought, I'm going to die right here. And about that time, one of the counselors separated the two boys. And are you okay? You know, goes through the motions. From that point on, he was afraid of drowning. He wouldn't get in water. He would not step off into water. He wouldn't swim. He never faced that up until he was 31 years old. When he was 31 years old, he made a concerted decision to overcome that fear and learn to swim, which he not only did, but went and swam a kilometer in the open ocean and said that when I came out, I felt better than I did when I went in. He said, I love water and I love swimming. I enjoy it. I just love it. It's just one of the greatest things. But I kept myself from it for 20 some odd years because of a fear that I had from something that happened. He overcame his fears when he learned to face them. When we realize that we do have fears, but we don't have to have those fears, when we realize we don't have to have those fears, we can break the shackles of those fears that shackle us and keep us from enjoying a rich and prosperous life. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 28. The thing is most people don't realize that fears are holding them back. They don't realize that these fears are keeping them from going, doing things. I know that you probably have noticed that there are men in our congregation that won't get up and lead a prayer. There are men in our congregation who won't get up and do announcements. There are men in our congregation who won't get up and lead singing. There are men in our congregation who won't do other things. There are men in our congregation and men in our circle of people that are afraid to do certain things. And they don't look at that as a fear, even though it is. I feel apprehensive about getting. I don't feel good getting up there. Why? Because when I sing, I sound like a cat on a hot tin roof. I don't want to take that chance. I don't want to get up there and embarrass myself. But it basically comes down to fears holding us back from doing those things and accomplishing those things at which we can. Why is it that we don't go out and talk to other people about the gospel? I remember talking to my wife's grandmother one time, and she said, I'm just afraid I'm going to say something wrong. You know, I hear that more than anything else. I don't hear people say, well, I just don't like to talk to people, or I'm not good at talking to people. They say, I'm afraid I'm going to say something wrong. And do what? You're going to say something wrong and then that person might not get to heaven? They're not going to go to heaven right now. You have nothing to lose. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 28, it says, and fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. That's an interesting passage. Fear him that is able to destroy the body and soul in hell. Do not fear what man can do to you. The fear of the Lord is that of a reverent respect for God and what he is capable of. We should be joined together with nothing but love for one another and fear of the Lord. Remember Ephesians chapter 5:19. We seldom hear the verse verses that follow it. Ephesians 5 and verse 19 is a very, very common passage. It says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. You think that that's what David was doing when he was afraid of Saul? Saul was trying to kill him. He came in the room, Saul picked up a javelin and threw it at him, stuck it in the wall beside him as he ran out the door. Saul wanted to kill David. David had opportunity. David went in the cave and cut the corner of Saul's garment off without him knowing it and said, hey, look what I got. I could have killed you. David went into his camp and took the spear of his bodyguard from him and said, hey, look what I got. While you were sleeping, I could have killed you. David had God on his side in all things, but he had submitted himself to the Saul and to him as an anointed of God in the fear of God. And so David, with confidence, could walk into the camp of Saul and pick up his spear, or walk into a cave and cut the hem off of his garment. With confidence, he's not afraid of anything. David wasn't afraid of anything, but he had that fear, reverent fear of God that protected him. What are you so afraid of? Have you ever heard that phrase? What are you so afraid of? Why aren't you doing this? What are you so afraid of? Well, here are people telling kids that. We all have heard that verse, that phrase. We hear things like this all the time. We must keep in mind that God never intended us to fear anything but Him. And that is again, reverent respect. That fear of God is a reverent respect. Remember what Roosevelt said. The only thing we have to fear is fear itself. That's become a very, very profound statement. Very well-known statement. In fact, if you ask somebody, have you ever heard this statement before? They say, yeah. Who said it? I don't know. I think it was Barack Obama or President somebody. I don't know. Jimmy Carter. I don't know. Some president, right? They know it's some president somewhere said it. But they really don't know who said it or why or when he said it. The only thing we have to fear is fear itself. This puts us in a dilemma. If we have nothing to fear but fear, then fear is gone. Powerful statement. We have nothing to fear but fear itself. If I have nothing to fear, then fear itself is gone. We ultimately have nothing to fear. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7. Listen to this passage. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. God has not given us a spirit of fear. You know what that means? That means we adopted that. That means we took that on ourselves. The spirit of fear is something that we took on ourselves. We decided we would have that. At first, you think, why would we do that? How many people do you know will pay money to go to a scary movie? Find the thing that scares someone the most, and they will pay money to go get scared by that in a controlled setting such as a movie theater. Snakes on a plane. I don't know what that movie, I never saw that movie. I have no idea what the plot was. The movie itself, the title tells you what's going on. Snakes on a plane. I ain't afraid of them. If there was snakes on a plane with me, I don't have a gun on a plane, but I'm pretty sure I could kill some snakes on a plane. They ain't going nowhere. They can't get out. I don't know what the movie's about. I don't know. Anyway, people pay money to get scared out of their wits by the things that they're afraid of. Maybe you remember a few years ago, people were afraid of clowns. The younger generation, they were afraid of clowns. And I could hear people talking about, there's a clown in San Antonio. He's like, gets out and he wanders around and scares people. He's a clown. I'm sorry. My generation's not afraid of clowns. We're not. You can give him vampire teeth and make him look evil all you want. He's just a clown. I don't know. If you live in constant fear of something, anything, maybe it's time to turn it over to God and remember that He is all we really are commanded to fear in the Scriptures. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 9. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 9 says, have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. I know he was talking to Joshua here, but if you look at that verse right there, Joshua was fixing to take the people into the promised land. And he had his reservations. Who is Joshua? Just go in your Bible and see if you can find something bad written about Joshua. See if you can find anywhere where Joshua ever said, I'm not going to do what God tells me to do. See if you can find something in there where Joshua said he was afraid of something. Joshua was a man of God. He was like David. He was automatically given the position of Moses. Moses led the people out of Israel. He was given the position. He was given that position to take them into the promised land. But God could see that there was an issue. God could see that Joshua had his reservations. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. You can do this. You got this. For thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. Wherever you go, God is with you. Look at David's attitude. He wasn't afraid of anything. No matter what it was, it came at him. He knew God is with him wherever he went. That's why he went after that Philistine giant. He defied God? Who does he think he is? And one more passage, and from that we would draw our conclusion. Romans chapter 8 and verse 31. Romans chapter 8, verse 31. What shall we say then? What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? If God be for us, who can be against us? With this passage in mind, what do we really have to fear? I submit to you, nothing. We really have nothing to fear. Think about the phrase, fear God and keep His commandments. We're being told that there is nothing else to fear. So next time you have to face one of your fears, ask yourself this question. What is the worst thing that can happen? The guy I mentioned earlier that had the collapsed lung, he overcame his swimming fear. Not only that, he overcame a lot of other stuff. This guy has done, at 31 years old, he's conquered, mastered many, many, many things that he just set out and said, I'm going to be the best at that there ever was. He's set some records. He's broke some records. He's just done with weird stuff. He was afraid of language, studying language. Not afraid of it, but he just didn't like studying language. It was something that was difficult for him. He just couldn't handle it. Now he can fluently carry on conversations in 12 different languages. He mastered Japanese and went and spoke Japanese and was able to sit at a conversation. And he made that question, what is the worst thing that can happen? What is the worst thing that can happen? The pessimist will have a dozen answers, but the honest Christian will know and understand there's only one thing worse than anything that we can imagine, and that's an eternity in hell. What's the worst thing that can happen? Well, I could die. That's not the worst thing that could happen to you. I could die a terrible, grueling death. That's not the worst thing that could happen to you. I could be put on a cross and crucified just like Jesus, nails driven into my hand, whips across my back, beaten and punished and left there to die for days. That's not the worst thing that could happen to you. The worst thing that could happen to you is you could die in your sins. And there's not a lot of people that are afraid of that. Unfortunately, Satan is real good at convincing people that you need to be afraid of a virus that kills 0.001% of the people that get it, but you don't need to be afraid of spending eternity in hell. Scary, scary thought. All the decisions we make should be based on this, that there's only one thing more scary than anything we face, and that's an eternity in hell. Which brings us to the very simple principle that is found in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. If you have any need, the message is yours. Won't you come while together we stand and sing the song that's been selected.